Live from the Mountain West Conference Media Day at Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company.
Good round of interviews here at Mountain West Conference Media Day. We're going to get to a bunch of them tomorrow. We actually did talk to Barry Odom today, but morning show talked to him. He gave out some good information there. He's talking about the starting quarterback situation. So make sure you listen to that on LVSportsNetwork.com on the press box page. Adam Hill, Steve Cofield, we're on the scene. The 4 o'clock hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers, 766-1400. Offices in Vegas, downtown Vegas. If you ever have a need in Reno, there's an office in Reno and in Henderson. So Adam and Mateo and Griffin's back on the board. Good job by Arash of the Sporting Tribune at Sporting Trib. We've got a lot of stories from this place. We're 5 minutes away from talking about a little bit of Receiver, the new Netflix show. I saw someone kind of jokingly scold Clay Baker from Raider Nation Radio to not give out spoilers. So we'll give you a heads up. We're going to talk about it. If you haven't watched it, you can turn off the radio. I've only watched 2 episodes, so we'll touch on the 2 briefly. But there's also some other stuff with Davante Adams that's kind of interesting about the quarterback situation with the Raiders. I want to get to that one. You actually did not get to – you guys go – I mean, you just don't like each other, but it makes for good radio, you and Arash. Did you want to accuse Arash of food hoarding from the food area, or was that just – you were saying that he's the kind of guy who would do that?
He's the kind of guy that would do it.
Yeah. I mean, I do it. I actually – I have another cookie because I knew they were going to clean it up, and I knew I might need some energy. And, of course, it's not going to be healthy energy. It's me. Well, there's a couple things here food-wise. Should we say who the coach is? I don't think it's embarrassing. There is the number one coach in the Mountain West Conference when it comes to loving beef jerky. Or do you want to write about this? We have to hold this back.
No, I don't.
We're always worried about the paper.
I'm not going to write about it.
You're not going to write about this?
No.
Man, you wrote about Matt Never taking over UNLV football radio, play-by-play.
I didn't.
Oh, that wasn't you?
No.
I thought it was. Oh, you retweeted it. Who wrote about it? That was Ed?
Ed.
Okay. Man, that blew up. That was nice. Beef jerky sponsor here. I love beef jerky. I love it.
Not as much as some other people.
Who loves it?
Well, I think it's not probably.
Do we not even indicate who it is?
We could just say.
There was a coach.
A coach in the league.
Just kept stopping back over and over again.
He was carrying around a backpack, and he walked over to the beef jerky area. Most people were walking by and just like grabbing jerky as they walked by.
I grabbed
that's
two.
Mateo did, I think.
I grabbed 2. I asked him.
Yeah.
I asked him.
Just grab some.
Yep.
And that's what most people did, just grab it. But Steve, when you grabbed it, did you talk to the people about like the differences in the jerky and how it's made and all that stuff?
I actually just said to them, I was like, hey, are you guys wanting to take all of this home? Can I take a couple? And they were like, no, go ahead and take a couple. But no, I wasn't going to get a jerky breakdown.
So I heard this coach. Now, couple things at play here. He went over and really just started diving into the intricacies of the jerky, the differences in the different flavors, how it's made. He was asking a lot of questions. I'm not sure they were actually the jerky makers. I think they were just hired to stand by and watch the jerky. But I also don't know if he was interested. I think it might have just been, you know how sometimes when you're at like the, if you go to like a warehouse store, a Costco or a Sam's Club, if they're giving out the samples, you're not just grabbing the samples.
You feel obligated.
You're like, oh, this is good. Where did you find this? And like you have small talk with them to kind of like, I'm not just grabbing the food here. This coach was doing this deep dive on the jerky as he was just stuffing his backpack full of the jerky. So I don't know if he actually cared or if he was just doing that small talk thing to like, hey, I know I'm taking a lot of jerky here, but really just kind of covering that up.
Finley Kia text line, who's a Mountain West Conference coach who loves beef jerky, 702-364-1100. I know I really skewered Boise yesterday being all snooty.
It's not them. They might have loved the turkey, but
maybe.
That's not who I was. So.
All right. Well, I wanted to leave it open. I'm not asking you to eliminate.
Well, I'm
people.
Trying to give clues.
No. Take a guess. And it could be body type. You never know.
Could be region of the country where you're from.
You saw another story that this is the kind of stuff you notice, and I think someone made a really big mistake. Egg roll gate.
Could have involved the same person.
A coach was involved in a situation where they wanted an egg roll, right? They had a bunch of Asian food here. What a spread from Derek Stevens and Circa. Thank you so much.
And I was sitting at a table having lunch with one of the coaches from around the conference. Mostly we had some empty seats at our table, and he said, "Is it cool? Sit down." Yes, that's fine. He went up, and he got his plate of food, and he didn't have an egg roll. Now, I didn't have one either, but everyone was talking about the egg rolls.
Raving about it.
It was spreading around like wildfire. So I said, trying to make small talk, I said, "No egg roll?" And his response was, "By the time I got to the egg roll, my plate was pretty full." So I didn't want to just jam it onto the plate. I might get some after lunch. So he has his lunch.
Yep.
He goes back up, I assume, to try to get an egg roll. He comes back with a piece of cake, which is fine. That's dessert, I guess.
Changed his mind.
And I said, "Oh, I thought you might get an egg roll." He's like, "That was going to be my dessert. Egg rolls are gone. They took them away.
I took them away.
So I'm going to have to go with cake." And I was like, "Oh, we got to be able to find you an egg roll. There's got to be an egg roll somewhere." And he's like, "They're not there. I don't know what to do." We have this whole conversation. He eats his cake. Cake might not have been as good as the egg rolls.
Yep.
So he has a little bit of it. He's like, "I'm not. I'm good." Somebody else who clearly heard this entire conversation then pulls, I think, from underneath the table, like a plate of egg rolls.
How many?
It was two, but they're giant. Like they covered.
So had an egg roll to spare.
Yeah.
So this is a nice moment. You have someone being generous and going, "Hey, coach of Mountain West School, take the egg roll."
Well, first they were eating a little. They ate some of the egg roll.
Second one?
They weren't. I don't think they were ever going to say that. I was like, "You got an extra egg roll? Maybe coach." The coach wants the egg roll.
Wouldn't give it up.
Well, I think begrudgingly was like, "Hey, you want the egg roll?" And they're like, "No, I'm not taking your egg roll."
Ooh. Wow. All right. So jerky coach, egg roll coach. Who is it?
I don't know.
Which coaches?
I don't know.
702-364-1100, 702-364-1100. If you have a chance to go to a function where they've got some food, you can break bread with a coach of sorts, would you choose Davante Adams?
I think so. I mean, what are the other options? I would enjoy having
someone who's actually
Devontae.
A coach. I
oh.
said a coach.
Oh, I gotcha.
But here's my thing. What is Davante saying now about Aiden O'Connell.
Aiden McConnell's a good name, too.
Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew.
So, on quarterback, you know, you do kind of it's reality shows, so there's like the behind the scenes, the producer will ask questions. And, you know, the day that Antonio Pierce is hired as the interim coach and makes the announcement that Jimmy Garoppolo is being benched, he's the starting quarterback the rest of the season, and that's how they're going to move forward. And so the producers are sitting down with Davante Adams, one of those like kind of confessional behind the scenes things that you see in reality shows. And they say, "So what was your reaction to finding out this news?" And he said, "What was my reaction? I signed off on it," which was an indication that the team, and in particular Antonio Pierce, came to him and said, "Who should be our starting quarterback?" And at the top, and Davante Adams is saying, he made the call, but they said, "Is it cool if we make the switch?" Davante approved it, signed off on it, and they move forward. And this is something that I will say was known, but I don't think it's ever been stated that clearly and publicly that happened. But I think that's part of why these shows are so great. Like, they show you these things that are happening behind the scenes or what's going on. And I'm sure that's not great for Jimmy Garoppolo to hear it. But again, he knew it. It's not like it was news to him. He knew that had happened. It's just, I applaud the honesty. Like, that's what we want to see in these shows. It was cool to see it.
Okay. So here's an issue. And I have fallen victim to it recently, and I have to remember that the internets aren't always accurate, and I joke with the name of the internets. Stuff is being repackaged, and quotes are being sent out that are crafted carefully. Tweet yesterday, news. Davante Adams says that he was the one who approved the decision to bench Jimmy Garoppolo. That sounds different. You know what I mean? If you read that, you're like, what?
Well, he approved of it.
I know, but
that is what he said. He signed off on it.
Couldn't you be a little more detailed?
Well, I think you probably are.
He was the one who approved it.
No, I don't think you need to say the one. That he approved.
Then that's how it's written. I'm not making that up.
Because it's my understanding that they said, we're thinking of doing this. What do you think? And he said, that's fine.
Let me read it again. Davante Adams says that he was the one who approved the decision to bench Jimmy Garoppolo, and he would not be on the Raiders anymore if he wasn't benched.
That's not what he said.
When I saw it, I was like, what is going on with Davante?
The rest of the quote, the rest of what happened there was that Davante said he was – again, I don't have the sound in front of me or the quote in front of me. What he was basically saying is something needed to change. I was at a level of frustration where I was going to have to decide what my future was going to be, whether it was going to be here or somewhere else. And if something drastic didn't change in the season, it probably could have led to a route where I was not with the Raiders anymore. That's paraphrasing, but that's kind of what he was saying. He wasn't saying if he wasn't benched, I was leaving. That's a completely inaccurate depiction of what he said. He said he needed to see something improve, something change. What changed was not necessarily Aiden O'Connell, but what changed was the attitude of the team, the atmosphere of the building, the energy levels, all the vibes, all of those things changed. So that's what changed, and that's what Davante is suggesting with that quote. So that is that part of it that you read is completely inaccurate to what happened. Into what he said.
And it's happening more and more. I don't know how to stop it.
The out of context quote stuff?
Yep. And I know I need, well, I'm like
well,
a
I
lot of people.
Biggest...
And I know better, but like all of us, we got to read this stuff more closely and check into it. And I know people don't have time for it, but there's some stuff being put out there where you're like, wait, that wasn't what was said. And what actually the other important thing is, because Willie, I think it was Monday, tore me apart over Chelsea Gray was talking about, hey, appreciate the time right now when Asia Wilson is playing. And I said to him, I'm like, what is every press conference? They talk about Asia Wilson and her greatness, the other player, every press conference. He's like, hold on. And he actually yelled at me. He goes, hold on. I asked a question. Here's what it was. I was like, oh, she was answering that.
Yeah.
Okay. But when you're fed the answer all the time
here's what the problem is, and I do kind of study this a little bit in terms of how some of these things happen because you see it a lot. The reason that, like, beat writers are important, one of the big reasons why they are is because they're the ones that are there, they get the quotes. And in this case, it came from Netflix, so it's a documentary. You don't necessarily need an original reporter. But they actually get the quotes and they get the things from players. And there's so many aggregators out there. And that's what happens here, where you can't just copy and paste somebody else's story. I mean, some people do, but you really can't. So what you do is you look at it. You're like, oh, how can I rewrite what this person said? Then you change the wording a little bit and then put a headline on it. And then somebody else aggregates the aggregation. It's like a game of telephone where you're just trying to change enough so you're not copying off somebody. But you've never watched it. So, like, the second and third and fourth person have never actually watched this clip. They just read what somebody else wrote about it, and now we arrive at a point where it's not anything what the original thing was. And to your fear of how do you stop it, it's going to be very hard to. First of all, I suggest people go to original reporters and not aggregators, but I also understand people don't have time.
Those also cost money.
It costs money.
And,
time.
And I'm not saying you guys don't deserve the money. That's why you deserve the money.
But it's also why the money is important.
Yeah.
It's like, because then people take what we write or what is seen on Netflix by one person, aggregate it, and then you see something fourth-hand, you're like, what?
And this
not what happened.
All of this is not some sort of journalism discussion. A small part of it is. No, but that's not the bigger part of it for me. The bigger part of it is sports fans out there and the conversation you have with your friends and water cooler stuff, so many stories and quotes are misrepresented.
Of course.
And then this is a weird story. Like, I got to be honest with you. The more Devontae quotes I read like this, I'm like, I don't – like, I needed to watch receiver because I'm having a misunderstanding of who Devontae Adams is.
Yeah.
And I'm at some of the press conferences, and I got to be down there more. But there are times when I'm like, what is with this guy? And then you're like, wait, that wasn't actually the
–
that's not the full story.
Yeah, and he's also –
you defend him off the air to me all the time.
I do. He's also – I mean, he's one of the smartest athletes I've ever been around. I'll say that for sure. And that sometimes is a detriment in some cases where he's so careful about his words and he's so good with his words, but he's careful about them. And then he's trying to relay what he feels, but he doesn't want to be just like shooting from the hip. So he's very careful about it. And then it gets misconstrued.
I can't blame him.
Saying. I know,
but he's trying and actually still getting misconstrued.
It does. And I think he's a victim of that sometimes a little more than others is that he's so smart and he tries to be so good with his words that sometimes they get picked apart and taken out of context.
Summer of Fun is back. ESPN Las Vegas is presented by Planet Nissan. 8 trips in 8 weeks. This trip this week is the Cowboy Adventure in Alpine, Wyoming. Lots of cool adventures in this trip. Fly fishing, horseback riding. It's in Alpine, Wyoming. All you got to do is text in the code word of the day. We give out a different code word every single day. Sunset. 702-364-1100. 702-364-1100. Code word is sunset. One more thing from the Raiders. Is there another update here on the Raiders ownership and TB12? Where are we on this? And I also saw a note that Richard Seymour wants to be involved.
Yeah.
So what's it? Are they – we're talking together?
It sounds like they're going to be together, kind of part of the same group in terms of, you know, Brady was going to invest a certain amount and get a certain percentage of the team. The rest of the NFL is not going to approve that because it was basically a big discount. So in order to get – it sounds like from what I understand, in order to get enough of a percentage of the team, it's going to require more money than Brady was going to put in. So it's going to be an ownership group that is buying the same percentage of stake in the team. So it's not doesn't really change the process of what was going on. It just adds at least one other name and potentially more to the group that is buying the Tom Brady stake in the team, which is not a majority stake. He's not going to be the owner of the team, anything like that. They're just buying in, and Mark Davis, I think, wants him to be a part of the group and wants him to have more of a say. He already is part of the Aces ownership group.
Oh, yes.
Brady is. And now he'll be part of...
I was thinking Seymour.
No. So Brady is. So now he wants Brady to be a part of it, and now Brady's bringing some of his guys in too.
364-1100, 364-1100. Kevin Hart is playing this weekend. His residency in town. Griffin's got a pair of tickets right now. 364-1100, caller 7.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Mountain West Conference Media Day on ESPN Las Vegas.
A lot of good Mountain West and college football chatter the last couple days. One of the things that is certainly a change is the college football playoff and the fact that the Mountain West is in a mix of conferences that if the best team in the conference is the best team in Group of Five, they can actually be on the dance floor for this 12-team playoff. You know, if you listen to this show, it has been just anger-inducing over the years, the selection of that Final Four, and we'll see what happens with 12 teams. We used to scream and yell about Bill Hancock, the executive director of the playoff, and then we talked to Bill over the years, and we're like, man, he's a nice guy. Bill's gone. 25-plus years as a spokesperson for this thing. Rich Clark is now the guy, and he sat down with us just a little while ago. He's the executive director of the college football playoff, and we asked him, hey, we like Bill Hancock. But that guy was under a lot of pressure and got ripped a lot. How does it feel to be the new Bill Hancock?
Yeah, distinguished is not a word that usually is used to describe me, so we're good here.
Well,
Bill Hancock is amazing, though.
He's awesome.
He is fantastic.
He's such a nice guy, but here's the thing. Are you a three-star general?
Well, I'm a retired three-star
general.
Still counts.
Well, yeah, I guess it doesn't count forever.
I guess. But I am rich. I don't go by general, and I am a civilian now, and I love it. I love it.
I think you're going to find out. You're going to want to go by general. People need to know who you are. This is a rough job.
Deflect a little bit of the
It's
of
crazy,
the heat.
Man. The passion around college football now with this playoff is so off the charts, and I think it's going to get more insane. Are you starting to kind of get a little feel for it?
I'm feeling it, and I'll tell you, it's probably a little bit of what goes around comes around, because I've been one of those fans for years going, what are they thinking? You know, what are you guys doing? And now here I am. So, but I am so excited about this. And, you know, the fact that I get to come in now at this sort of change of an era of college football, and I'm right here at the crux of it, and I couldn't be more excited to be here.
So is it your first day on the job, second, third? When do they tell you that you just have to be an unabashed SEC cheerleader? When does that
happen? Oh, no. Uh-oh. No, no, no. Come on now. I am a neutral player. I just love college football. All 134 teams are in the FBS. They're my team, so I'm just excited about it. It's going to be amazing.
No, I'm kidding with you. That is how people see
outside of the
how
SEC.
It goes. Right.
I know.
Right. That is how people see it. So, I mean, is that the kind of stuff that you get, like, right away of, like, okay, you're just going to put every SEC team in? 12 teams? That means 6 SEC, and who else gets in? That's
right.
How it's going to work.
Right? You do hear a lot of that, but what I'll say is now that I'm an insider and I've been able to see the process, last year they allowed me to sit through the selection committee meetings, and I'll be honest, I didn't understand it going into it. After having seen it and read through the protocol and watched the selection committee in action, I'm a believer. I really am. And I don't say that because I'm sitting in this seat. I believe that that group, those experts, those 13 people that go in to do that, they check their hats at the door. They have the integrity, and they understand their purpose. You know, they really do. So
you said you were one of those guys that would, like, look back and say, oh, what are these guys doing? These are a bunch of idiots. And now when you see the – I guess – how enlightening was that for you? You said it, you know, you see that they're very professional, but I guess, and how good was that for you going forward to see that side of it before you really jump into the job?
I'm glad that I got to see it, because it changed my perspective, and I didn't go into it going, well, I got to fix that. I think it's actually a pretty well-oiled machine. We can always get better.
Sure.
You know, there's always things to tweak, but what I believe they do is they follow the charter that they were given walking in the door. You know, their charter is to pick the best teams. Last year it was to pick the 4 best teams. Now it's going to be to pick the 12 best teams, but they rank out the 25 best teams. And they have to do that in accordance with the bylaws and the charters and the protocol that's been laid before them. And they do that, and they take it to heart.
This is my issue with that, and I'll say it right now. I'll say this. What is the exact word? We tried to figure this out so much last year. You said the 4 best teams.
Right.
I don't think they picked the 4 best teams, and I applaud them for not doing that. Because I think they went with more of a criteria of who actually performed it and all those other numbers, instead of this team would beat this team.
Right.
Right? So I think Georgia, I think, was better than the teams that were in last year. I'm a Michigan fan.
Right.
I don't know if Michigan's better than – like, it is tough. So what is the exact criteria that you're supposed to work off of?
Well, so there's not like one thing that they look at, right? They're looking at strength of schedule. They're looking at head-to-head competitions. They're looking at the body of work of all of these teams, the eye test. There's so many things that go into this. I'll tell you, there's a lot of science, because there's a lot of data that they get. But then there's the art, right? There's the art of it. And that's where that human – this is a human endeavor. And you have to have human eyeballs and human input to really find out who the best teams are. So I wish I could tell you the one thing, and I know that's the issue with me, right?
That's always been my thing of, can we just get – this is the criteria. Can we narrow it down to, like, a sentence or something that we can figure out? Going forward, I know it's not right now. Is there some way we can get to, this is what we're tasked with doing, so everybody understands the page that everybody's on?
I wish it was as simple as that, as making it a one-sentence line to go – because they're reading – they're having to read a whole protocol.
Exactly.
This is what you need to be thinking about. These folks, they start doing this. We're starting in August. We're starting in August to get them ready to do this and to prepare them, to educate them so that they can come in and do this the right way in accordance with the protocols that all the commissioners are the ones that lay this out and sign off on the process.
I don't like this already, by the way.
So I want to deep dive a little more.
We're
crazy. We jumped ahead here. Rich Clark's with us from the College Football Playoff. Let's explain the basics of the playoff for the casuals out there. That's most of
that.
Our audience. We've now got a 12-team playoff.
Right.
We've got higher seeds. We've got home games.
Yes.
We've got a chance for this place right here, Mountain West Conference, to actually get into the playoff without having a miracle season. So just talk about the basic setup and now what the playoff looks like.
Yeah, that's great. So we sort of have already talked about the selection,
sure.
Right? So the selection committee will meet those 5 weeks, the five final weeks, and then on selection day after the champ games happen, the conference championships happen, they will place the 12 teams in the bracket. Now, the 12 teams will be first five, the top five ranked conference champions. They're the automatic qualifiers. Four, the top four of those will get a bye, right? So 1 through 4 will get a bye. Number five will be placed in accordance with their rank, you know, where they were ranked, or if they were ranked below 12, they'll be placed at 12.
So that won't automatically be five.
There will be five.
I'm saying they won't automatically be the five.
No,
seed.
They won't be the five okay. seed. They'll go where they were ranked in the 25, and if they were, say, they were 16, then they'll beam up to number 12. Right?
That's a big difference.
It is.
If it was a Mountain West Conference that had one loss or was unbeaten and is, ranked 13th, that could mean being at the bottom. If they're a little higher in the rankings, that could mean being at five, right? Am I hearing this correctly?
No. So if they were a conference champion and they were ranked 13, then they would go to 12.
Right, they go to the back.
They
go to the back of the rankings. Yeah.
Right.
But if they're inside of top 12, so if they're number 11,
they would go at number 11.
Oh, yeah. They would.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so they go according to their rank. Okay.
They go according to their rank, but if they're outside of 12,
then they go to 12.
If they're lower than 12, then they go to 12 because they're an automatic qualifier.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense?
I'm there now.
Okay.
I think Steve is. What I was saying I don't like any of this because one of my favorite things is to be mad.
Right.
When the selections happen, and I like you now.
We don't want you to be mad.
I know.
That's the whole reason they're doing it.
No, but I'm saying, just like with Bill, we used to get so mad at him and then meet him and love him. Like, you can't be mad anymore. You're taking away our ability to be mad because we like you.
Oh, that's good.
Like, you're doing a good
job. All right.
No, Steve's my
Well, I mean, once he's gone.
Yeah, right. Then you talk bad about me when
I'm
gone.
That won't be about you. It'll just be about the whole our frustrations
but
with
let's,
the system.
So let's finish, though, because you get your five automatic qualifiers, your five conference champions. Then the seven at large will come from the rankings from the selection committee. So then the seven teams will get put in.
That's where the art comes into it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you rank those guys, those teams, then and some people, there's different views on this, but the first round is going to be on campuses. So teams 5, 6, 7, and 8, they will play teams 9, 10, 11, and 12 on campus with the home team advantage to 5, 6, 7, and 8. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So those are going to be on-campus games, which are going to be pretty electric, right?
I think it's awesome.
For some campuses, might be the biggest game they've ever had on their campus. So that's going to be pretty spectacular.
Which means there will also be pressure on you guys if a team is around 8-9 to say, maybe the bigger campus with the bigger stadium gets the home game.
Nope, that will not happen. their ranking is irrespective of what facilities they have or how prepared they are to throw a game. Their ranking is based on their performance, and that's that. Then we're going to help those teams, though. All those schools that are going to host a game, we, the CFP, are going to be right with them to make sure that they have everything they need and that they're ready to host a big game.
I'll give you another critique that we've had in the past.
All right.
See if this is something you believe in. The first couple meetings, when the rankings come out, you guys have the meetings, it doesn't really matter. It matters. It's entertainment. It's good for us to watch and debate about. But it's not a final ranking. It's not where people are going to play. To us, it has almost been just a TV show of, hey, let's make it interesting. Let's throw this team in front of this team and see how people react to it. It has felt like a TV show, like for entertainment, until the final. The final rankings are so important and so vital. But the ones before that, they don't have an effect on necessarily what's going on. So has there been a little bit of – you haven't been a part of it, but do you think there's a little of – hey, let's make this a little fun for the first couple rankings.
Well, I don't think it's fun for the selection committee. What I think they need to do is they need to do that ranking because as the season evolves, especially at that point of the season, things have started to solidify a bit.
Sure.
And if we just jumped in and waited till that last week to do the rankings, their mindset has not evolved with the season. They have to follow the season. They have to rank. They have to track these teams. They watch these games. Like, they get an iPad, and they watch all of the games that are going on in the top 25. So the top 25 from 1 week leads to, okay, what do we need to be watching next week? You know, and it builds right up to that last ranking. And I also think it's good for the fans to see it evolve and develop. You know, instead of just being shocked that last week, you're like, "What? Where'd that come from?" No. You saw where we've gone.
The shock would be
way.
Pretty fun too.
Yeah, well, it would be fun for you. It won't be fun for me. I'll be getting smoked every day. People will be yelling at me. It'll be crazy.
Rich Clark is with us. He's the executive director of the College Football Playoff. Just curious, what's the vibe as you've bounced around this room? Because we're in a little different position. UNLV is getting better. We don't know if they're going to get to a level where they can actually be a 10 or 11 win team. We haven't been in this position in this market, but we're a gambling market. So we do numbers. We want the seeds done by power rankings at the sports book.
Right.
Now, Boise, they expect, and they're going to be really pissed if they have a great record and they're not in the play. Like, their mindset's completely different. What's been the vibe in the room? Because I'll tell you overall, I think it should be, hey, we're actually included in the Mountain West. We can actually get on the dance floor. But I wonder what the vibe is with the other cities.
Well, just from my kind of circulating around, I feel like there's a lot of positivity and hope of where the Mountain West is going. And you have some, you got some new coaches that have come in. You have some old coaches that have had proven performances. I feel like there's a lot of positivity, and I think Commissioner Navarez has done a fantastic job of really pushing the Mountain West to be great, and all the conferences are, they're all pushing hard because they know that the stakes are higher and that there's opportunity now for a lot of teams. So I think it's a great vibe.
I look at the Mountain West Conference and I look at schedules and I'm like, they got to dial all these down. This is stupid. Don't play anyone outside of conference. And what I'm getting to is strength of schedule for this 12th spot, which is likely going to be the 12th spot.
Right.
Like this year, Liberty may have a magical season. I don't believe they're really playing anyone. So strength of schedule is going to be really important for this 12th spot. How big a factor is it?
Well, it's a factor. Now, how big? There, you know, if you were trying to weight the different factors, that's kind of hard to do, right? But strength of schedule is absolutely something that the selection committee takes into account. And so, you know, a team could be 11-0, but if their strength of schedule is like, you know, at the bottom of the list, you know, that's a tough one. But, you know, the committee does that. That's the art of this, right? Yeah. They take those numbers and they put that human element in it and put the art behind it, and that's how they come. So, your point is,
I mean,
there could be
a Liberty team that's 12-0. These guys could all bludgeon each other, and the best team could be 9-3, may have played a great schedule.
But they're not rewarded.
Maybe.
May come out ahead. You know,
that's the fun of all this. And obviously with the Power Four, they're going to go crazy, you know, in the middle of these conferences in the 2, 3, and 4 spot.
Right.
And there could be cases where a team with a slightly lesser record overall is in over a team that's, you know, 8-4 could make it over 9-3. That people are going to go crazy over that, too.
It could happen.
This is fun.
Yeah.
We're making it all like
it's crazy. But, you know, there's nothing off the table. Yeah. But I do. I'll go right back to this. I think the selection committee really has the right process down to pick these teams. And we have to be more transparent. You know, we have to get it out so that people understand. You brought up a great point. What's the criteria that we're using? I think what we probably need to do is figure out a way to sort of easily communicate, you know, and tell what the criteria is and how it's used. Because it's not an easy process, you know.
Yeah, you dealt with the worst scenario last year with a quarterback on a top team going down, and then everyone's like, "How good are they now?"
Right.
But you know, is it your decision to make or the selection committee's decision to make on how good the backup quarterback is? That's a tough one.
Right. It is tough, but that's, you have coaches in there, you have athletic directors, you have sports journalists, you have a lot of people that have been watching football for a long time.
Sports journalists are idiots, first of all.
Too emotional.
I'm included in the group. We're idiots. I do have a request. I'll say this. Steve brought it up. The power ratings here in Vegas, we're so used to it. We're so accustomed to it. I do believe, and I'm just making the case for it right now, they are the best. Mm. Sportsbook directors are the best at setting who the best teams are.
Really?
Because it is their job to. It's their job to know, and they are hired and fired based on if they get it right.
Yeah.
Like, they have to be right. Their money is on the line every week about it.
Right.
So I know you can't be so tied into where you're like, hey, we're going to let them set the ratings. That's how it's going to go. It should be a factor. Gambling is to the point where it should be a factor, at least in the understanding of where teams are ranked, to say, look, these are the 15 best teams according to the Las Vegas Power Ratings that are, I think, the most important and the best rankings there are. That should be considered somewhere along the way. I know we're not there yet. Mm. At some point, I think it should be factored in. That's just my request.
All right. Well, I heard what you're saying.
I know you can't. I know there's separation. I'm just saying, and you can't really dive into it. I guess you can't tie yourself into gambling in that way, but it is important.
Right. Well, you do. You stand where you sit, right?
Exactly.
You sit right here in Vegas, exactly. So you stand on that principle. So
last one to wrap, not to cut you off. You are going to be misquoted a lot. Or kind of micro-quoted.
Gosh, what did I do?
I got a text yesterday. Like, I didn't even know you were over at the Big 12.
Okay.
I got a text yesterday, and someone said, SEC fix is already in. Wouldn't expect anything less. Rich Clark, on picking first-round home teams, quote, weather, hotel availability, ticket sales. That's all I got in a quote. Weather, hotel availability, ticket sales. So immediately the rest of the – like Mountain West people are like – and Big Ten people are like, wait, weather's going to suck late in the year? Is that's going to be a factor?
That weather, hotel, and ticket sales.
That's it? Look, this is what I got.
Exactly. This is what we're saying. This is what we're saying. People are going to misconstrue anything that you say ever.
So weather, tickets, those are just considerations that we have to help that first round, those campus teams that get selected to hold a game, we have to help them – kind of work through those things. Those are factors for them to put the game on. So weather is a factor, right? If you're somewhere and you got your practice field is outside and you only have outdoor practice fields, what's the visiting team do? You know, how do we work that? Ticket sales, we have to help them with that. We have to help them understand, okay, here's how this works in a big game like this. Hotels, the visiting team has to stay somewhere, and we need to help them to know
where
they're going
to stay. What people
are
concerned about when they say that is, if you're looking at an 8-9 matchup, that's going to be a razor thin, right? And it's potentially, I'm just throwing out teams, yeah. Penn State against UCLA. And you go, well, there's a blizzard coming to Pennsylvania. UCLA's the 8 and Penn State's the 9, I think, is
not,
what people are concerned about.
So help me clear that up. The selections happen first. The rankings happen first. Yeah. And then we go, all right.
Yeah.
The game's at your place. Now let's figure it out.
This was more in reference to logistics rather than
fans.
That's
all that is. It's just logistics.
Okay.
It's just logistics.
We good?
We're good.
Okay.
We're good.
Well, nice meeting you.
Yeah. Man.
We're just prepping you. I mean, and we're not like this is a decent college football market. You know, around the rest of the country, these people are lunatics, so.
They are. If they think that we're going to pick the best teams based on their weather.
You already said you were.
Everything's a conspiracy theory.
I know.
That was never going to end unless I stopped it.
No. He was so ready to get out of here.
Clark, new executive director of the college football playoff. He is the new Bill Hancock. I mean, you're unbearable, but all of it needs to be said. And honestly, like, I'm going to call him dude. He's a 3-star general, so don't take that the wrong way. Like, dude, it's crazy out there. And I can say this about the 12-team playoff, that the back end of the selection, I don't want to hear complaints. It's not 2, and it's not 4, and if you're out of the field and you're 9, you know, you don't make 9, 10, 11, and you finish, 13, 14, 15, you probably lost 2 to 4 games. Not going to be accepted. Not going to be accepted because people. It's just like the NCAA basketball tournament,
exactly.
Right? You're in at the end of the field. People will still complain about the last 4 at-larges. But that said, the playoff is a mega improvement. I know you want 16. I can't wait for this. I think it's going to be awesome. And then it's going to be more stuff to argue about with the seeds. So Rich's job is not easy.
It's not.
It's probably not even worth whatever he's getting paid.
It's not. But we're still going to criticize him. Crush him, and then when he comes on again, be nice to him.
Be nice to him. You weren't real. I mean, you didn't give him a soft touch. It was like right into it. The PR guy came over. He's like, hey, let's have Rich on. Maybe he can explain the playoff. We just barrel in.
We all know what the playoff is.
We know what it is. Let's go. Do you know? He's like, okay, that's enough.
I will say, and I will not give away the
details of the conversation, but we did have a quick conversation.
I have a picture of it.
Okay.
I should have videoed it.
We did have a conversation.
No, he's trying to leave, and you stood up and, like, blocked him. You're like, whoa, come on.
No.
I got more.
No.
He actually did ask you a question.
He came to me.
Yeah.
And I think we came to an understanding.
I
don't love the outcome, but it's at least a step in the right direction.
You don't love the outcome. That's a good tease.
It's a step in the right direction.
You'll save this for a column in December?
No, because it's kind of off the record.
Okay.
You can't really put it out there.
This poor guy. But this is the way it is, man. People love college football. This tournament's a big deal. It's a lot of money at stake. Sorry, it matters.
You know what?
I didn't even get into the whole, like, hey, the state of Nevada is left out of this thing. You better tell people, like, states, a lot of the states in the Mountain West Conference who aren't part of the freaking club.
We're not left out. We're getting the championship.
We're
getting a championship game.
We're still very much on – schools here have a shot now.
Yeah, but we also are hosting the game.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It is good business for us, and it'll probably happen every 5 years at a minimum.
You know it's not good?
What?
The national anthem.
All right. You know what? Let's go to break on that.
I've got backup. I've got backup now.
Grab bag is up next. We close it out here from Circa on a Thursday.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Very productive time here at Circa for a couple of days. We're always out here Thursdays, but Mountain West was in town, so part of the radio row. I often, after we do events like this in Super Bowl, right, where we're out for a couple of days, I think about the interviews we did and the stuff you and I said. I'm like, why would I say that to that person? I still feel a little bad about bickering with a 3-star general.
No, he said he's not anymore.
He's
just a civilian.
Come on, he is.
That's what he said.
He was a 4-year player at Air Force. He's like a very decorated dude. And, you know, we're cutting him off. You're arguing with him. Like, someone needs to get up from the show and just go, who are you? Do you know who I am? And I would accept it. If we're annoying people. Like, I've had people in the past get annoyed and be like, you have no reason to be annoyed. I mean, one of the defensive backs for San Diego State yesterday, I'm like, you guys are a little heavier up front. You're a little light last year. You'd be able to stop the run. You just want them to look at you and go, you are a fat load. What are you talking about? We're light.
Yeah, maybe you can help stop
the
run.
Yeah. What do you weigh? Chubby? Bisping did that to me one time, Michael Bisping.
Fair.
I said to Bisping, I was like, hey, you look a little out of shape. He's like, from you? So do you. It's like, there you go, Mike. There you go. You have there's no lingering feelings after an event like this.
No.
I have guilt sometimes. Wow. By the way, victory.
I don't believe
victory.
Him. Scott. What did you think he was going to say? Come
Scott
over.
Scott Farrell
expressed.
Came over from collegepressbox.com, pitched us on some membership to a media group. He's like, with the membership, you get this beautiful book. It's a guide to all the football information you need. I'm like, man, this is going to be helpful. I took the book he had. Adam accused me in the middle of the show of stealing the guy's book, that he was looking longingly at the book and thinking, I want that book back. Why is this guy stealing it? I texted him, and he came over about 15 minutes ago and was like, no, the book is for you.
And now he's already stolen it.
Well, it makes me feel better.
He's not going to come over. He still wants you to sign up. He's not going to be like, yeah, it's my book. Give it back.
Oh, if I don't sign up, there's going to be hell to pay.
Yes, you need to sign up.
I'll accept that. I'm going to sign up. Okay. In the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Also, I didn't get one.
You didn't? Because you were not believable.
I didn't steal one.
You're not believable that you're going to join. I don't think you're going to join.
I already signed in. I already signed up.
Did you pay?
I just haven't filled out the card yet.
But he could tell. Like, there's an aura about me in terms of, like, what I'm going to do with the book and running the show, booking guests. Back in the bag one more time.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
And that whole argument we had last hour, it wasn't an argument. You made a statement that the Canadian National Anthem is a good song and the U.S. Yeah, Anthem
musical,
is not a good song.
Scholars
and now, like, going out, you have to mention that someone has your back.
Yeah. Well, I just like this line that the American Anthem is essentially just a brain-hurting – it's a combination of brain-hurting syntax and larynx-bruising octave-and-a-half range. It's just a terrible music combined with lyrics that just don't really
what
make
is this
much
from
sense.
Some music professor at Cal?
I'm not sure where their professor at. They're
from a
music
real
professor.
Musician?
From
people who professor. Know music?
The music professor, yes.
I figured it was a music professor. Is it one we need to respect? We don't have to respect all of them.
Is there any respected music?
You know what? I'm going to run by my music expert this week.
Who's that?
I know someone. She's very intertwined in the music community and plays instruments and is friends with the Killers.
Please do.
Very, 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 very
Make
smart.
Sure you say
that's it.